Diane. Thank you.
Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me, he is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swayed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them down. I was pushed back and brought to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defence. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory surround in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stones the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. The Lord has done this every day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
The story of Palm Sunday. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it into a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. When the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, Jesus replied. Have you never heard from the lips of children and infants, You, Lord, have called forth your praise? And he left them and went out into the city of Bethany, where he spent the night. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves, and he said to it, May you never eat bear fruit again. Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree wither so quickly? They asked. Jesus replied, Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, Go, throw yourself in the sea, and it will be done. If you will believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. What was Jesus doing at this time? It seems like he was winding up the Pharisees and the Sadducees, getting them to make a choice. And life is full of choices. We've already made loads of choices this morning. What clothes to wear, what breakfast to have, what tea or coffee, to walk or to take the car. There is so many about choices. Life has few answers. Mostly it's about choices. Education, job, life partner, place to stay and live, houses to buy, age to retire, what to fill your retirement with, which seems to be no problem. I'm looking forward to that experience in a few years' time. But it seems that for many of you, you don't have any problem filling your time. Jesus requires a choice. Follow him or follow not. Jesus offered his hearers a choice all the time. Follow me and live forever. Reject me and you reject the Father. And that still exists. Follow me or reject God. There is no non-binary answer to this question. We can't say, well, in a few years' time or when I'm ready or whatever. It's black and white. We either follow God and follow Jesus or we reject God and reject Jesus. And Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem and he makes this very simple choice. He says, Will you make me your king? On this event we call Palm Sunday, Jesus is forcing a choice. It's a provocative thing to do. Zechariah 9:9, as we've already had read to us, Rejoice, rejoice greatly. Daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus was forcing the issue. He was make your mind up time, I've got this memory of some quiz or other in the background that had that make your mind up time. Does this ring a bell with anybody? Okay, just me. Jesus was forcing the issue. The time has come. And it was a comparison with the rest of his ministry before this time when he said, My time has not yet come. Jesus was coming to the point where he's saying, now is the important period for you to make up your mind. Do you follow me or don't you follow me? And timing is an essential part of the way that God works. An open invitation to follow Jesus existed all the time, but it would become crunch time. Make up your mind. You know, in this world today, many people accuse God of inaction. Where is your God? I've had it said to me, where is your God in Gaza, in Ukraine, in Africa, in Myanmar? I have to say in return, pray we don't see God in action yet. I mean that by when God's wrath is unleashed. Hebrews 10 verse 31 reminds us, it says, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a reminder that we may want to say that we want to see God in action, but there will be a terrible day for those who refuse to follow Jesus, for those who reject Jesus, but a glorious day for believers, that day he comes again. And in the meantime, we have a choice. And the kingdom of God is all about choice. Choose life or reject life. Not that for this it means that we betray the real Jesus. Not the weak, pale imitation that the world thinks it knows. The world thinks it understands what Jesus was about, but it doesn't. As Ron reminded us in our prayer meeting earlier on, the Bible Society has come out with a survey that they've done recently saying that Gen Z, for those of you who don't know what it means, join the club. It's the younger generation at the moment are coming to God in their droves. They're coming to Jesus in their droves. And Bibles are being bought again as people are searching for God. We need to cut through the rubbish and behold the man, as Pilate says. Cut through the rubbish of religion and some of the church things that we do which get in the way of describing and understanding what the real Jesus is like. Because the real Jesus is someone we cannot ignore. We can't be indifferent to him. We can't be in the grey area when it comes to Jesus. When it comes to Jesus, some were repelled. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the people of education and power saw Jesus as a threat to the status quo. They were angry at Jesus. They thought he was trouble. And you know what? They were right. He is trouble. He's trouble because he turns our lives upside down. So they complained and they caused a ruckus. Jesus is trouble. He challenges us. Makes us uncomfortable. He calls out the fakes and takes on the governments. They were repelled by Jesus. They wanted nothing to do with him. There were a group also that were disappointed. And there's another group in the crowd, those who thought Jesus was here to evict the Romans. They thought this picture of Jesus on a donkey coming into Jerusalem was about turning out the Romans and getting them out of their ruling. To them, this was the coming Messiah, and they were great followers of Jesus until he no longer did what they wanted. They had their own agenda for Jesus. As soon as it became clear that his role was not to kick out the Romans, they, like all the rest, cried out, "Crucify him." This is a reminder that being a follower of Jesus does not include dictating God's schedule for him. Many still follow Jesus today if he gives them what they want. Has your love grown cold because Jesus has not given you what you thought you deserved, what you thought you was owed, because Jesus has not delivered what you wanted? Many do. You're not alone. Especially if life is hard at the moment. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time, for many years. There's still a feeling of disappointment in your life, work, family, finance, church, relationship, whatever it may be. disappointed with Jesus and turn round and say, crucify him. They rejected him too. But the good news is that some believed. And I, like you, want to be in that number. The number that say that Jesus, you are the life. You are the Redeemer. You are the Christ. You are the Lord. Jesus, the center of everything. They believed. And Jesus then offers them the life and says, will you choose the life that I offer? Because this event is about choice too, living for Jesus or living for yourself. The question is, have our lives become polluted by the world? When you look at the cleansing of the temple, we looked at it in John's Gospel, and there were two, if you remember, two cleansings of the temple, and these were probably two events, one at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and the one at the end. This is the second. It's a story about cleansing, about transformation. Amazingly, Jesus cleared the temple. Now, you have to remember that the temple courts were probably the size of Bramley Shopping Centre. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but it is about the size of Bramley Shopping Centre. So when we think of Jesus meek and mild, we have to turn it on our heads. He approached in glory, and then he turned out the temples and turned out those who were misusing the temple. He was furious. He had righteous anger. Choose life and we will be purified. Now there's a program that started again on television this week called Design Masters. I don't know if any of you saw it. But basically they take a room and completely redesign it. And they take stuff and give it a coat of paint and put on some nice furnishings, and they put in some MDF and say there is a transformation. Well, the transformation that Jesus offers is not just a coat of paint. It's a gut and a furnish. Jesus wants that in our hearts, to clear the rubbish. The wrong thoughts, the bitterness, the anger, the jealousy. Ephesians 4 verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Or as the Message puts it, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another quickly as God in Christ forgave you. It's the harder path. And if you're not finding the Christian life a challenge, then perhaps you're not doing it right. It's meant to be a challenge. For the result is wholeness, purpose, presence. Choosing Jesus is the harder path. And then the last story that we have there is the cursing of the fig tree. Complex little story, really. I feel sorry for the fig tree. I don't know about you, but I do. And perhaps I shouldn't. But the fig tree episode is complex. It combines with previous episodes. Another choice. Choose not to be barren. And all that is needed for us to reject Christ's call in our life is to be barren. That's our default. But this isn't aimed at non-believers. This is aimed at the religious. The fig tree in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, was referred to as being Israel. So when Jesus comes to the fig tree, he's really coming to Israel itself. And Mark says it's not yet the season for figs, but the tree proclaims promise. It acted as though a parable. Jerusalem showed promise. It showed bloom. There were millions of people around Jerusalem at this time of year of the Passover. But they had no fruit. All these people were going to the temple. They were going and doing their religious duty. But they had no fruit. So Jesus curses the fig tree and says to them, this is what it is like. He condemns behavior that shows fruit promised but no actual fruit. Revelation 3 verse 14, we read this. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write these words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Will you choose to bear fruit, or just appear to bear fruit? The choice is clear from these three stories. Will we choose Jesus as King? Will we choose life in Christ? Will we choose to bear fruit? In making the right choice, we choose Christ, Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Jesus, when you came as a humble carpenter. And then at this event, you showed your true colours as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that presents us with a choice. Do we keep you as a carpenter, just a good teacher, a good example? Or do we actually take you on board as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do we choose to make you King? Do we choose to have life in Christ, bear fruit for you? I pray this morning that our choice will be clear and our choice will be thorough, that we will choose you as King and of Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, Amen.